But whether it's a Memorial Day gathering or maybe it's a graduation party or maybe just a small gathering of friends and neighbors on a weekend afternoon, this is a great time to be thinking about getting out the grill, isn't it? Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Actually, my grill runs pretty much the year round, to be perfectly honest. And I tell you, a couple of other guys whose grills run the year round too, Mad Dog and Merrill, nationally recognized and self-proclaimed grillologists, but I would proclaim them a grillologist too. They are the hosts of the TV show Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin'. They've written a number of cookbooks. The latest is Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin' Cookbook. They are happy to answer your questions about grilling or grills when you call. And that number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Or maybe you've got an idea for grilling. How often do you grill? What's your go-to grilling recipe? And maybe you've got some particular ingredients that you find helpful when you're grilling. And also be kind of fun to know some unusual things that you throw on the grill. What is it that kind of it would surprise some people to know that you grill? Love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Mad Dog, are you there?
Absolutely, Larry.
Well, it's great to hear your voice. And Merrill, are you there too?
I wouldn't be without Mad Dog, and I wouldn't be without you, Larry. Yes, I am. I'm raring to roll.
Well, how's that television program?
You know, it's going really, really good. We started airing May 4th. It's every Sunday mornings, pretty much around 9:30. I know it's on the CW57 in Madison area, 18 down in Milwaukee, 14 up in Green Bay, and NBC in Wausau, and CW Network over in the La Crosse-Eau Claire area. So it's throughout the whole state of Wisconsin. It's going up and running every Sunday morning.
And it's a lot of fun. I've had a chance to watch more than one. And you guys look like you're having fun all the time.
Well, you know, we do. We do have a blast. It is a lot of fun. As if you've noticed on the show, is that we just take it and run. You know, we don't really rehearse or anything. So what you really see is what you get. So we're showing people the fun, really, of outdoor grilling.
And well, any day I can make fun of Merrill is a good day.
There you go. Well, I don't have as many grills as you guys have, but I've got a couple of Weber charcoal grills, and then I've got a very fancy Weber gas grill that I actually don't use as much as I use the charcoal ones because I like the charcoal ones better. But they're handy when you have a big crowd.
Well, you know
they really
nice
are.
Seriously.
Go ahead. I'm sorry there, Merrill.
You know, that's the one nice thing about that for having a gas grill is that you're ready to fire up the grill and go. I was just talking to a friend of ours yesterday that competes at a lot of different competitions that we have around the area. And he does want to go to the natural charcoal, but he said, he does like these competitions. Everybody else is firing up their charcoal. I come in the trailer, unload the gas grill, I fire up, and I'm ready to grill.
Yeah. Yeah, there is definitely that. There's definitely that. And, you know, the other thing that I think I may have mentioned before, in the wintertime, if you're say you want to do fish and you don't want to cook the fish in the house, it's great to go out that gas grill outside and get her fired up, and you've got those aromas outside instead of inside.
Well, you know, we've been doing a lot of cast iron skillet cooking recently, too, from Cajun catfish to hash browns on the grill. Literally just plain old fried eggs with some nice little steaks on the grill to go with it for breakfast. So cast iron skillet cooking is great. Wonderful thing to do. Wok cooking we've been doing, plank cooking. You certainly wouldn't want to do any plank cooking on the indoors, but I did some plank jalapeno poppers the other day. And just phenomenal. Just absolutely delicious.
Well, now, how do you do that?
Well, I take a jalapeno and I slice off one of the sides and I hollow out the seeds, so you got this neat little jalapeno boat. And you can do just about anything mixture with cream cheese you want. I did a drained crushed pineapple mixed with the cream cheese, put that in the jalapeno popper, and I just topped it with some nice halves of pecans. And you soak the cedar plank or any untreated lumber in water for several hours. And when your poppers are ready, I mean, after you've prepped them, you fire up the grill on a nice higher heat, direct cooking. Then you take the board out of the water. You put about, I think I put about 12 jalapeno poppers on that board. It probably fit. And then you put that directly on the grates of the grill, put the hood down, and it chars the dickens out of the bottom of that plank. But the product up above, which was happened to be poppers in this case, just kind of get that nice little cedar flavor to it, and they cook up just nice and tender, and they were just delicious.
Ooh. They were fantastic.
Ooh, they were.
That sounds wonderful. I got to try that.
You know, I did some jalapeno onion stuffed hamburgers at the same time on a different plank. So I mixed together the stuffed burgers, and I barely seared them on a higher heat just to get some score marks. And I put those on top, about six of them, because they're bigger burgers, on top of another plank, and I cooked them at the same time as those jalapeno poppers, and both were just delicious.
So you get a nice, so those burgers look good when they're coming off a plank?
They do, because I seared them off first. You can take chicken breast, pork chops, pork tenderloin, beef tenderloin, steaks. You can just lightly, not lightly, but heavily on a hot heat, sear the dickens on both sides for about 30, 40 seconds just to get some score marks and flavor.
Yeah.
Then put it on that wet board, put that wet board on the grill, put the hood down, and it's like cedar plank salmon. You kind of double the time.
Yeah, so, okay, so you're looking at probably 20 minutes with those burgers?
Absolutely. And what's great about them is you don't have to rush them. You can turn the heat down after a while, and you can literally leave them on. You could smoke them for an hour and a half with the proper controls of your, you know, gas grill or the vents of your charcoal grill. So you can slow down the heat if you want to, or keep it at a higher heat and speed up the process. It's America. You can do whatever you want.
Okay.
But they were absolutely delicious, and we did I don't forget where the heck we were, down in Fond du Lac, and we did some pork chops on the grill the same way, about an inch thick. Seared them up, put them on the wet planks, put those planks on the grill, and I cooked them, you're right, for about 25 minutes or so. And they you know, till pork's done about 145, 50 degrees, and they're just delicious.
You mentioned pineapple, and I think Ron in Spring Green has a comment about pineapple. Hi, Ron.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to mention, you were asking about, you know, things that people make, and stuff that I know a lot of people may not think to try is actually grilling pineapple on the grill. Gets such a wonderful flavor. It's absolutely ridiculous.
How do you do it, Ron? Do you skewer them, or do you...
Well, I've done it both ways, because I've made it kind of as a unique shish kebab, mm-hmm. So that I've skewered them. But I'll buy a fresh pineapple, core it, take the skin off the outside, and then I cut it into about 1-inch thick slices. And then I'll actually put them directly on the grill and just flip them like you would a hamburger.
Yep. And what type of glaze, Ron? Brown sugar, pineapple juice, a little rum maybe?
I was going to say, depending on what we're having with it pretty much. But, yeah, a lot of times I'll use a little bit of brown sugar because I also have a tendency sometimes I make a ham on the grill. And then I like to put a little bit of brown sugar, get a little extra sweetness in there.
I got a little tip for you with pineapple. I learned when on our great trip we took to Hawaii here recently, and that is when you get the pineapple from the store, you just twist the top off the pineapple and then turn it upside down and put it in your refrigerator overnight, and then take it out in the morning and then go ahead and do what you're going to do, because what happens is that if the pineapple sits a long time straight up, the sugar tends to go to the bottom. So the top part, of the pineapple will not be as sweet as the bottom.
I'll be jiggered.
You might have known. I've actually noticed that. So I now turn it upside down and let it sit for several hours or overnight, and then you've got a more even distribution of the sugars.
I wonder if we can do that same thing with Merrill, because he ain't been as sweet as he used to.
But it's hard to turn me upside down, man.
Oh,
great day. I never knew that.
Well, I didn't either until this recent trip to Hawaii. So you learn something new every day. You know what?
Interesting.
Ron, thanks a lot. Appreciate the call.
All right. Have a good day. Thanks.
Yeah, you too.
You got it, Ron. Thanks.
You can join in, too, by the way, if you have a question or comment, or maybe you've got an experience to share grilling. I'd love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions and experiences and your comments. What about grilling for a large group? I've done a lot of it, but you guys do it all the time. You got 20, 30 people coming. What are some general tips for grilling for a crowd?
First of all, you got to relax. You know, if you have your food already, you know, prepped and raring to go, a lot of times you can go ahead and do it ahead of time. Obviously, you know, if we're doing the typical brats or hot dogs, we'll brown them up and put them in a beer brine. If you don't want a beer brine, you could use anything from a dried onion soup mix or just a beef broth or whatever. And you could do the same thing with the hamburgers, which Mad Dog does just absolutely fantastic. It's just brown them up, put them in a pan with beef broth and some sliced onions. You're set where, you know, raring to go. But get all your prep work done ahead of time, that's for sure.
Yeah, I like that tip a lot. And what do you do for you guys use a lot of paper, you know, like paper plates and things like that, or do you?
Well, you know, we don't like doing dishes just like anybody else, Larry. We we do a lot of catering. And, you know, you can actually go on MadDogAndMerrill.com and learn more about everything that we do, but MadDogAndMerrill.com. But, you know, we'll come with the styrofoam three-compartment plates and stuff and salads, and grilled vegetables on the grill are just absolutely fantastic, and that's one of our expertise because people just don't want just, you know, it's not just the meat and the bun. You got to have some nice little condiments with them and some nice little side dishes.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And we've got some more callers on the line. Again, you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Let's turn to Mike in Prentice, Wisconsin next. Mike, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thank you. Interesting show. Could you have the guest just comment on the different flavors from different types of hardwoods that they cook with the plank forks?
Oh, yeah. What?
Sure. You know, any type of, for plank cooking, you said, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, any type of untreated lumber does work. I mean, you can go get hickory, oak. You can do the cedar plank is more traditional. But if you can find a nice slab of apple or cherry or anything that you have for hardwood wood, as long as it's untreated, that's all you really need. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a planed, as in level and nice and soft or firm. But it can be, you know, a rough little piece of wood that we've seen. We were down in Indiana, and a guy brought us this piece of oak, tossed it on the ground with bark on, and he says, man, I've used this one four times. You'd never guess it. And I go, boy, you sure wouldn't. Looks like six or seven. but, you know, as long as you get that wood nice and wet and it's untreated lumber, that's the key thing. I submerge them in a cooler overnight with a brick or something on top to keep it fully submerged. And that's the last step before you put anything on the grill is taking that wet plank. So if you do like the traditional is salmon on the grill, I like to skin the salmon because that skin gets awfully soft underneath that plank. You oil the salmon, you season it, put a little brown sugar over the top, soak the plank in water for 4 to 8 hours or overnight like I like to do. Preheat the grill on high. You take the plank off out of the water, put that seasoned salmon on top of the plank, put that plank directly on the grill, and the salmon directly on the grill takes about 12 to 15 minutes on the grates of the grill. You double the time, 30 minutes.
Oh, there you go.
And it's just delicious.
And it's kind of no mess. And actually,
well, I take a little sheet pan and cover it with aluminum foil, and I'll take that plank with a pair of tongs, lift it right up, put it on there, and that's my serving tray. Look, it's delicious, and it's still smoldering. And if you catch it just right, the edges start on fire when you serve it. It's just like being in Hawaii with those the bananas and the plantations and the rum.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to turn that plank upside down, though.
No. Well, Joe from Wisconsin Public Television's Around the Farm Table sent us a note on Facebook, I believe, and says something about the flavor of an organic grass-fed burger always wins me over. You really don't need to do much prep with a high-quality meat. A lot of the cooking has happened on the farm where the animal was raised under low stress, eating good things. What the animal eats, we eat.
You know, it's very true, but then we need to, and cuts of meat are leaner and leaner, from pork to chicken to veal to lamb. to beef. We need to treat them with a little more tender, loving care because of that, because there is less fat, Larry.
Mm-hmm.
I like to sear the meat products up, like those burgers, sear them up, and then move them over where there's no heat and treat them like little roasts. Or those cedar planked ideas would be a great idea, because then you're not cooking over direct method of cooking, because you have a tendency to dry those cuts of meat out extremely fast because of the less fat inside the meat.
I wonder, you know, the turkey hunting season is about over here in Wisconsin. There may be another couple weeks left, or a week or two. I know quite a few people who got turkeys this year. What about grilling a wild turkey?
You know, the wild turkey is going to take just a little bit more longer. You know, it's sort of been out the woods running around. The big thing is you want to make sure that you oil it very well. If you're doing the whole turkey indirect method of cooking, I could use things like even for bacon or whatever to put on top. But it seems to take a little bit longer. It seems to be a little bit more on the tougher side, but it's good. And there again, if you wanted to, you could add some wood chips. I like using cherry, or obviously apple's the best choice to go, and smoke the turkey a little bit too.
Yeah, and I've kind of gotten away from that with the wild turkey and just do the breasts on the grill, just because of the legs are really tough, and you're going to slow cook those or pressure cook them or something if you're going to eat those legs.
You know,
right,
80%.
On the turkey breast, but definitely use, if you use fresh lemon or concentrate lemon and a little bit of oil, marinate that first and then cook the turkey breast. It's got a nice flavor on the lemon.
Yeah.
A little zest of lemon in there too.
Sounds like a plan to me. Let's go to Kathy in Milwaukee. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling.
My son went to culinary school and actually taught me how to make hamburgers on a grill. I thought I had been making hamburgers my whole life, but apparently not. said, first of all, you don't work the meat a lot. You don't want to pack it up tight. But when you put it on the grill, you make a bit of an indentation on the top of the patty. It
sure
won't shrink up. And it really works. It does not shrink.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Then you got a place for that little tab of butter at the end then too.
There you go, or a little bit of blue cheese or whatever.
Oh,
and my other,
there you go.
I had one other comment. You guys might want to rethink that styrofoam plate thing and go to something biodegradable.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
I agree with you.
Yep. 100%. We do it on some kit anywhere. They'll go ahead and definitely do use the glass plates and everything else. You're 100% right on that. There's no argument whatsoever on that.
But you know, when you're talking, we're grilling for 350 people, I ain't going to wash them dishes.
No, but you can go with a heavy-duty paper like the Chinette or whatever.
Absolutely. You better
that
believe
styrofoam,
it. Styrofoam,
yeah, not so good for the environment.
Yep.
And this
yep.
is the only planet we got right now.
Yep.
Yep, you're right.
That's very true. You know, years ago, my wife and I purchased some good plastic plates, and that you can, you know, put in the dishwasher. And so if we have 20 or 30 people over, we also bought some silverware that's really essentially for entertaining larger groups of people, and so that silverware stays in a big plastic bags, and they come out. They're kind of nice, festive looking. They come out when we're having a company over, and the plastic plates as well. And then we just throw it all in the dishwasher at the end. But you know, we're not dealing with 300 people. We're you know, maybe 30 or 40 at the most.
Yeah. Yep.
And I feel a little better about it, and we don't have as much, we don't have as many black garbage bags full of stuff at the end.
Correct. Absolutely right.
Mad Dog and Merrill, our guests today, as we talk with them about grilling. If you have a grilling idea or maybe a question about grilling, maybe you got a good grilling recipe, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. I'm Larry Mehler. Cynthia Schuster, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking with Mad Dog and Merrill today, the grilling extraordinaire duo who have a great television show. It's Mad Dog and Merrill Midwest Grillin'. Several cookbooks they've written. Mad Dog and Merrill's Midwest Grillin' Cookbook is the latest. They've got a nice website. We have a link to it on my Facebook page at The Larry Mehler Show. But Mad Dog, what's your website?
MadDogAndMerrill.com. Pretty simple, MadDogAndMerrill.com. You can see some of those 30-minute shows and learn more about Mad Dog and Merrill.
Yeah, and a lot of the products that you make. We have an email from Jim in Mequon who says, being a frequent visitor of Jamaica, I'm extremely disappointed with some of the dry products sold in the States called jerk seasoning. I use small pork ribs or chicken thighs and mix a couple of large tablespoons of Jamaican-made jerk paste with some oil and rum. I marinate it for 12 to 24 hours and cook it slowly for about an hour over briquettes or hardwood with a packet of soaked whole allspice berries. What do you think?
Oh, I love jerk food.
Sounds
delicious to me. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing like it. I'm trying to think, even on online, you could finally buy at least some good jerk spices. Online, good jerk spices are hard to find. If I'm buying the commercialized jerk seasoning, you could get the jerk that's in a bottle, the liquid form, and the dry rub. I'll mix the two together, but I found out the big secret on that, you got to be very careful on it, but I will use some more brown sugar, add a little bit of brown sugar on there, and let that simmer in there after you've cooked it. But to me, boy, jerk the cooking cannot be beat. It's excellent. My favorite.
You know, one of the things that I like to do this kind of, what do they call it, drunken chicken, where you have a whole chicken over a beer can. And I bought a couple of little metal type spot things that kind of help you with that task. You just mount the chicken on the top of it. And I got to give you a little plug here, because you've got a seasoning called, I think it's Grandma Hazel's. And I use that on the chicken, on the outside. I rub that on the outside of the chicken, and I really like that flavor with the chicken.
You know, it's got garlic, peppers, onion, fennel, celery, red pepper, green pepper, onion, sodium. It's freshly ground up in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. All our seasonings are done there, and our sauces are done over in Eau Claire. And so it's all done locally, but it is a phenomenal. And you can find those at any, you know, Roundy's Festival Foods, Woodman Stores, Grandma Hazel's, Grilling Magic, and Season All are our three spices. They are great. Grandma Hazel is wonderful.
Yeah, I tell you what, that goes really well with that chicken. That's for sure.
Can I say one thing, Larry?
Yeah.
I had to go. My brother-in-law's son got married in Lake Geneva, and I had to bring a case of Grandma Hazel's with me because they did 30 pounds of asparagus.
Ah.
And asparagus, I want to bring up asparagus just because it's going to be the first vegetable in season, and it's phenomenal on the grill, and it's everybody's goal this year is to grill asparagus. And I like to squeeze a half in a Ziploc bag. I'll put like a pound of asparagus. I'll squeeze a half an orange over it. I'll dice up some fresh dill and add that over the top of it with a little Grandma Hazel's or your favorite seasoning and a little touch of olive oil and marinate for about 2 hours. And on a nice medium direct heat, you lay the asparagus out and you grill it for about 3-4 minutes and you roll it backwards about a half a turn for another 3 to 4 minutes. And it's honest to gosh the best thing you'll have this spring so far.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful.
It is delicious.
When I do asparagus, I'll put it in a plastic bag like you do, and I'll sometimes put some maybe the juice of a lemon, and then I'll take some freshly grated Parmesan cheese, and I'll put that in there too, a little bit of oil in there too, and that comes out pretty well too. If you've got a boneless chicken breasts, they cook in about the same amount of time.
Yep, exactly right.
Scott in Appleton, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. I've seen where people put like jalapenos on the grill and they stuff them with different things. I was wondering if they have ever done that and how long a person would want to put them on for.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, the stuffed peppers, we talked a little bit about them earlier, about planking them. If you don't want to put them on a plank, we like to, like I mentioned, we'll take the jalapeno, slice off a side, hollow out the seed, so it's a neat little jalapeno boat. And it's cream cheese, onions, herbs, garlic, bacon bits in there is delicious on top of there. Mix it all together. You pack it in those boats. They go directly on the grates of the grill. If you're a lover of hot peppers, 5 to 7 minutes. If you're a non-lover of hot pepper, the longer you cook that hot pepper, the less intense the heat, so you don't need starches to cool your palate. So I'll move them up over to the side where there's no heat for 15, 20, even 30 minutes and slow cook them indirect, and they kind of lose a little bit of their zip, so you don't have to worry about them being too hot for your guests.
Okay.
Sounds like a plan to me.
What about putting them on a smoker like... you know, like you would smoke meat with or whatever, and just letting them go in there for a while?
Absolutely. We talked about cedar planking them about 15 minutes ago, and they're delicious. So, in a smoker, I'd go about 200 and some degrees for about an hour and a half and really smoke them really nice and slow, and I think it'd be the cat's meow.
Yeah. I like your way of thinking, Scott.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yep.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Jeannie sent us a note on Facebook and says, I love my Traeger grill. Had gas forever and will never go back. Everything that we have made is amazing. Smoking is fun. You can even make chocolate chip cookies on the grill. Now, I'm not sure. A Traeger grill, do you guys know what she's talking about?
Yeah, she's talking about a pellet grill. You're seeing the pellet grills coming on really strong. The Traeger is a really good grill. I mean, what's nice about it is you use different flavored pellets, whether it be oak, cherry, maple, whatever you'd like. You could slow cook on those. You just set your temperature. And actually, the pellets feed on a conveyor belt from a box, so they just slowly go into this hot box, and you could smoke it like at 225 degrees or whatever temperature. You just set the temperature and you're all set. But you are seeing a lot more people, what they're calling pellet heads out there, people get into pellet cooking.
And there's several different name brands, and if you're in the market for pellet grills, certainly check out. There's several of them, from Memphis Cookers to Green Mountain to the Traegers to... Yeah, there's a few more out there I'm missing, but there's several different name brands out there.
Now, this is not the egg. Is it the egg? Green egg or whatever it is?
Oh, man. No, we were just out in Grill Fest in Minnesota this weekend. Meryl and I were at Grill Fest, and there were about 40, 50 egg heads out there all cooking up, and it was like people paid money for the attendance, and then you go through and you walk through the different restaurants and eat. But it was for grilling, so there are eggs out there, and it's a Komodo-style grilling that the Asians have been doing for 2,000 years. It's like an inch and a half thick of ceramic that you can slow cook, cool smoke at 160 degrees, briskets and everything else, or fire that baby up to 1,000 degrees surface temperature for steaks and tuna steaks, and it's a phenomenal way of grilling. The green egg, and there again, there's other name brands out there too if you'd like, but the green egg is the original.
And they're a little, well, they seem pricey to me, but maybe I imagine they'd last a long time anyway once you get one.
They've got a lifetime warranty on them. Matter of fact, one of the gentlemen there of the egg that we use, you can tell him for the others, had his already for 20 years.
Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah, I mean nothing can go wrong with them.
Well, Josh in Madison has a question for you guys. Hi, Josh. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it, guys. It's been fun. I've been driving on the road and learning a lot, so thanks. Question for you. I do some hunting, and I guess my first question was around venison on the grill, just because it's so lean, kind of like you talked about earlier. Do you have any recommendations on how to cook a nice venison steak without drying it out?
Well, you could certainly pick up this month's May and June's issue of Badger Sportsman, and I wrote a nice article in there about wild game. But venison there again is awfully lean, and you know, if it's a nice corn-fed venison, you can certainly do larger cuts of roasts and tenderloins, and oil them and season them and slow cook them, and they're good. If you go out west and you get a mule deer, the tissues are a little tougher, and you want to cut those into smaller steaks and grill them, slower, but cut them more into steaks. But the idea there is to glisten them with an oil, season them up. sear them a little bit on both sides. And anything you cook on venison, I like to treat like a little roast. Move them over to the side where there is no heat. And I'd try that plank cooking if I were you. I bet you'd be delicious.
That's what I was thinking, actually. That plank sounded really interesting, so I'll give that a shot.
Yeah.
That's a great idea for venison tenderloins. Oil them up, maybe sear them a little bit, put them on those planks. Maybe a little seasoned sauerkraut underneath it first, and then your venison tenderloins.
Awesome. Yeah, that sounds good. I will give that a shot. Do I have time for one more question?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, I appreciate it. So I got an argument with a guy, and actually I've done it, though, but boiling a brat, do you boil it before you cook it, or do you simmer it in butter, beer, and onion after you cook it?
Boy, now you started an argument. We're almost done. We got an argument going. No.
If you boil it, you spoil it. If you grill it, you put thrill into it. We like to grill ours first and put it in the brine, but there's so many people out there that boil them first and then grill them up. And, you know, in Wisconsin, you got enough, a little bit of summer. You got to maximize it. People cook enough bratwurst, try it every gosh darn way you can. It's great plank, by the way, too.
I spent a lot of money, to be perfectly honest, on a meat thermometer. The one that is you see used all the time on the cooking channel, the food channel. But that thing reads excellent, and it reads right away. And I was boiling some brats, and I tried boiling them first. So I was boiling some brats. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to stick the meat thermometer in pretty early. And I was surprised at how quickly those brats were done. I had been boiling those brats way too long.
And you know what? I just talked to a gentleman about venison bratwurst, and he never, ever boils his venison brats because they cook so fast, they get so tough, and they lose all the flavor. So if you're talking venison there again with sausages, you never want to boil them. According to this gentleman, he's an old pro at hunting.
Well, I tell you what, I have used that meat thermometer, which I'm blanking on the brand, or maybe I shouldn't mention it anyway, but it was a very expensive thermometer. But I have really come to love that thing because it really gives me a very, very accurate reading on the temperatures. And it's helped me not overcook a whole bunch of things.
Sure. Is that digital?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's you can use it for an outside thermometer. I mean, you open it up, and it kind of opens like a jackknife.
Yep.
And you stick it in the product. You don't have to stick it in very far either. And you get a very, very accurate reading. I love it. So,
some years ago, Meryl and I had never used a meat thermometer, but I'll tell you what, we've cut the meat so lean, and you don't want to overcook them, and no, I don't know if you've noticed, but the price of meats are getting a little higher.
Yep.
And you don't want to thermometers are great.
And Josh, thanks again. Let's turn to Don in Madison. Hi, Don. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I am harvesting the last of my wild leeks, or ramps, and fiddleheads, ferns, and wondering what these guys have to recommend about grilling those.
Ramps and fiddleheads. You guys grill those?
Boy, you got me on that one. Mad dog?
No.
Well, ramps are kind of onions. They're like
these fiddleheads. So, I'll tell you one thing you don't want to do is plank them, because I tried planking asparagus, and it's the worst goddamn thing in the world. Trust me on that one. But, I would – and have you done them before? Do you just dip in a little Italian dressing and put them on the grill real fast and serve them up as a little side for meats?
Well, I've had luck sauteing them in a pan, and they taste great with a little seasoning and so forth. So I'm thinking they're kind of like asparagus.
Yeah, I bet they are.
Yeah.
It sounds delicious. You know, I'm gonna look them up on the computer, because that's what the darn thing's for. I'm gonna look that up as soon as we hang up. And next time you call, I'll have an answer. That's the first time we've been. Larry, I think it's the first time in 33 years Mad Dog and Merrill have been stumped on your show.
Yeah, we've done the leeks and things, you know, on television, used them for soups and things like that. I know when we've grilled them, you don't want to leave them on too long. They do get a little bit tough on the grill.
Yeah.
Ooh, dang. Yeah, green onions, too. Ooh.
Yep.
There you go, Don. Thanks a lot for calling.
Yep.
And Todd in Madison, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello. I just wanted to put in, I know someone else had mentioned grilled pineapples, but there's a lot of different fruits. Grilled grapefruit are incredible. Also, peaches, if you have them, grill them with ice cream. Oh, there's no better dessert than that.
Yeah.
And lemons, too?
Yeah.
Oh, lemons, just, you bet.
Yeah.
Now, how do you grill the grapefruit? You just cut it in half and grill?
Yep, and it pulls the sugar out and caramelizes it. It changes the taste completely. They're really, really good. Really good.
You know, I grilled a grapefruit about 25 years ago, and I remember now. I cut it in half, and you section it just like you would for a breakfast. You know how you eat it with a spoon in breakfast. You section it off, and I put a little sugar over the top. And a little salt, I think, if I remember correctly, just for fun. And you're right. You just heat them up to loosen the juices and change the flavor.
Oh.
They're delicious. Can I give one other little point?
Sure.
If you're on the grill, if you're using the smoke, you know, where you put the chips on, one thing I found from working in restaurants, we used to do this. If you take a little aluminum pan, put it on the side of the grill, and put coarse salt in it, that salt will pick up the smoke flavor. So in the future, if you cooking a roast in the oven or whatever, if you use that smoked salt, it gives it a delicious smoke flavor because that salt will pick up that smoke.
Oh.
Good point. Very good
point. It works really well. We used to do that in a couple restaurants in Madison, and people would always ask if we had a grill in the back, and it gives it that nice, just subtle smoke flavor without being overboard in it. And it really picks it up. Nice, delicate flavor. It's not overpowering. But it's nice, and then you can just keep it in your cupboard, and it stays good for a long time.
And smoked sea salt are the hot item now.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh. And you can do it yourself.
Yeah. Thanks, Todd. Right. Appreciate the call. And Jeff in Chippewa Falls, you had a quick question.
Hi, Larry. This is Jeff.
Yeah.
Yep, sir.
Yeah, I'm calling just, I wanted to ask about shish kebabs. I have a problem. I only cook on a charcoal grill, and this seems like the vegetables cook a lot quicker than the meat, and I'm wondering about techniques for.
Yeah, real quick on shish kebabs. I for our stage shows this year, I took my old snow shovel, and this is a true story. My old snow shovel with a wooden handle. I'm sick of winter. I cut it into two 14-inch wooden dowels, the center of it.
Yeah.
So you take those two wooden dowels, your snow shovel, whatever wooden dowels you have, wrap it up in aluminum foil nice and tight, set the grill for indirect method of cooking. So you want to slow cook them for a half hour. The same size sections of meats and vegetables, oil them and season them, skewer them up. You place those two wrapped wooden dowels off to the side where there's no heat. That's your shish kebab set. The skewer tips go across to in between them to hold them up off the grates of the grill. 1/2 hour for any shish kebabs. They come out delicious. That's a homemade shish kebab set. That's your tip of the day for listening to the Larry Mueller Show.
Oh, very good tip.
And you want to do those the indirect method of grilling.
Yep, indirect 30-minute grill.
Oh, very, very good. That's a great way to end. But boy, it's always so much fun to have you guys. I hope you'll come back and do this again.
Oh, we will
have it no other way, Larry. We'll call you next month.
Call me up and let's do it again. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Larry.
Oh man, I tell you what, lots of fun with Mad Dog and Merrill, and go to maddogandmerrill.com is their website and. You're going to enjoy what you find on their site. They've got lots of recipes. They got their shows. You can take a look at the shows that they've done already. And I know you're going to enjoy it. And tell you what, when you're grilling out, oftentimes beer is an accompaniment. And our next guests have taken their love of brewing and turned it into not only a business, but in some ways an art form. And they're here to share their passion for craft beer with us. That's coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.